At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the city of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
You know what, Utah? You can give me two. Welcome, everybody. This is Robbie Baseball here with Britton Allen and special guest who will arrive soon for Palazzo Podcast Dynasty Rankings Catcher episode. Two L's, two Z's on this here podcast. Last I looked, Britton, we were at 886 subs on the YouTube. We need to pump those numbers up, people. If you're listening right now, go to YouTube. Watch what Govier does to produce the hell out of this one with the stats and figures and things. Go watch the first base one. It's excellent. Join us on the Discord and all the other promotional things. Britton, good evening. Pleasure to be with you.
Robbie, thank you so much for inviting me on the special Dynasty show. I'm a big fan of all you and General Ben's Dynasty shows. I love it. And today, it couldn't have been better for catchers, because if I were to play any position on the baseball field,
let's watch how this goes.
Not professionally, obviously, but in my beer league with my old fat friends from college, I would still be the catcher. So I feel like I was made for this.
Simpatico. Okay.
So much.
Well, we needed another fat old man to join us for this tonight. So without further ado,
Utah. Give me two.
Here's Johnny.
Where were you?
Nowhere.
Shut up. Where were you?
Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
I've been waiting for you.
But I always thought that I'd see you again.
Somehow Palpatine returned.
I've been waiting.
I'll be back.
And here we go.
I would like to welcome former Dingers co-host, Ty, the tourney boss. Good evening, Ty.
No Lionel in there? I mean,
I didn't make that.
You're shocked, though.
It had everything else, Ty. It had everything else.
Yeah.
I just thought we'd have Lionel for sure. Appreciate you guys having me on. I just, you know, it's... I would love to say hello, but you led me in with the Here's Johnny, so I had to go with the drill. That was just the more appropriate method there.
So for anyone who doesn't know, I came to this podcast through my origin story of Dingers, which I was on with Ty, which was for two podcasts, a three-man crew, and then for 240 was Ty and I with guests here, there, and everywhere. And some of our best podcasts didn't end up being we had some issue way back when with Zoom, and we didn't get to do a couple of our favorite ones. which is always a fun thing that sticks in my head. But Ty and I would do dynasty rankings every off season. We would consensusly disagree. That's right, agree to disagree on pretty much every ranking. But we did collectively hate catchers. And
yes.
I got to say, I feel like the landscape has changed, but we will absolutely get into that tonight because for everyone here, we're going through our top 10 dynasty lists. We will tell you each one of us does not know the list, nor do we know the criteria from which each of us has built our list, which is really important for you, the listener, so that you understand where we're coming from. It is a big difference between an OBP and an average league for catchers specifically, because some of these guys have massive swings between their OBP and their average. And for others, it's not nearly as big a deal. But typically, everybody's OBP for a decent catcher is 309 plus. I was going to say 310, but I was like, that's a little high. 310 plus is like above average for these guys based on what I was doing with my stats. But anyway, we can dive in and chat as we go. So we'll give it up to you, Ty, who is, you're not a guest, Britton. You're part of this podcast. So Ty will be considered the guest, although you and I are having the pleasure of podcasting for the first time tonight, and I'm excited for that.
This whole thing is exciting. I get the Dingers guy. I get my debut with Robbie. I get Ty for a Dingers sandwich. And I'm the meat.
Oh, no.
Am I? No.
I don't know what's worse, Ty. He's talking about being the catcher with his buddies. Or he's the meat in our sandwich.
Hey.
How is he not in our home league?
Well, I mean, now I just want a sandwich. Like, I mean, I don't know.
Actually, the one thing we should do, Ty, before we kick off, and you kind of let it off earlier, was we used to do the beers and bourbon segment. And, I mean, I am chock blocked.
I do have this like Costco sized paddle going too. This thing.
I noticed it was pretty big. Yeah, you just you stick a plank of wood in at the end, and you can get yourself around.
Yeah. No, it's large. So I figured I might as well let it be in charge here. So I'm excited though. Like love where catchers are at, Robbie. I know we spent the better part of several years hating catchers.
But yeah, they would be.
We're in a bit of a renaissance of catchers, if you will. So there's some different skill sets. We're talking less about framing, which is fantastic. It's still a thing, but we're not focused on it as their core skill anymore. So that's good. That means we have offense to talk about, which is welcome. So I'm excited to get in here and upset you guys with a couple of my rankings. I'm very excited about that.
I don't know what OBP is. I ranked all my catchers by pop-up time. Was that wrong?
Oh,
I didn't
cool.
see that in the notes.
You're in pop-up leagues too?
Man, I can pop up in a New York minute. Like I
That's
got to
be an
like,
NFBC stat.
It's pop-up time.
Okay, so Ty, what actually maybe we'll go around the horn as to what we're all using for our ranking systems. Then Ty, you can drop in with your 10 to 6. So what are you using, Ty, for your ranking system tonight?
Catchers for me are always simple. I'm always based on this year, always when I'm drafting catchers, but with a skew towards future value. So regardless of format, I'm looking at production. I'm banking on guys that are coming off low inning years or unproductive years that I think are bounce back opportunities. So I'm going to give my list is going to skew towards what have you done for me lately, and lately being this year, but with focus on a couple-year trickle of success here. So some of the older guys might not get love. Some of the unproven guys might not get love in my list. That's what you're going to see.
Okay. And are you using points, categories, and did you go like kind of 5x5, 8x8, in and around that area?
It'll be head-to-head, focused on the 5x5 with a little bit of love towards the 8x8.
Obviously not roto-based because that's for losers. So you are taking into effect the fact that
I have missed burning Ronnie. That is one part of my life I want back.
Yeah, I did receive a text from Roto Ronnie, longtime Dingers troll and occasional guest, who asked if I was still on this podcast with that guy, is how he put it in the text. And I said, yeah, you're going to want to listen to one of the upcoming ones, but I didn't allude to anything beyond that. So anyway, the one thing that I will comment on going with the head-to-head for everybody listening is that that allows you to have a streaky player really help you for a period of time, and then, of course, need to be on your bench for a period of time. So streaky players on the positive end can actually win you weeks, and on the negative end can be on the other end of that and losing you weeks. So, Britton, what did you set your rankings up based on here?
Totally different. I'm a roto guy. Ugh. 5x5.
Boom. Now you're going to feel bullied. You're going to go from honored to bullied.
Hey, I'm here for that. I'm here for it. Well, y'all keep talking. You're going to see my pop-up time. It's going to be crazy. But it's 5x5 for me. I play a lot of NFBC leagues. I love draft and hold leagues. Those are my favorite. But I also have dynasty leagues, auto new leagues, things like that. So I basically did 5x5 3 year. Like
if perfect.
I took it as if I'm drafting a dynasty team today.
Yeah.
Who would be my top 10 catchers in a dynasty 5x5?
Right. So startup.
Startup. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm doing. So JT Realmuto isn't on my list. Spoiler alert.
Oh, there's the first name. There's the first name out of it.
He ain't on my list for if a startup dynasty lead right now. Don't want him. Don't need him. But yeah, so that's how I did it, because that's what I roto's my bag.
Yeah, perfect. And I contemplated points just because I assumed neither of you would. But then I said, no, thanks. So I came up with create a category. It's not pop-up time like yours, Britton. It's not that creative. But I combined the boringness of the catcher position, since so few of them steal. So I combined their steals and their home runs into the super category, because some of the guys that aren't as powerful can steal a few bags that can make – basically, it's made most of these guys – in and around the 20 mark on that, which is combined home runs and stolen bases are around 20 for these guys. The better ones we'll see are higher. And then the other thing I did was I combined runs and RBIs into the super stat, so that a really good, and I did this for first base as well, a really good producing guy is going to be in the upper 100, upper 100, so 170 plus. And then a really, like a super solid guy is going to be around 150. And then when you get into catchers, that doesn't exist. That is like peak season. So you're getting into 100 is kind of an underproducing catcher that's an everyday guy, like Jake Rogers with Detroit would be under that. And then you get into guys who are at 110 and 120. And then the guys I tried to pick are 120 and up producers, and we'll get into them as we go. I also counted average. I didn't want to do OBP because the average sways way more with these guys than their OBP, which typically a starting catcher should have a 300 or better OBP, but some of them don't. And that's why catcher still isn't the most best disposition. But Ty, we will kick it off to you. We're only 11 minutes in. I feel like I'm just doing so good for time, guys. I'm so proud of myself, but I'm going to give you credit too. As long as we're under an hour, all is well in the world. So Ty, 10 to 6, rhyme it off. If you want to give details now, details later, it's up to you.
Yeah, I mean, my top 10 does not take any account of all those numbers that you just talked about. Like, this is a complete, like, look
nor pop-up time?
Kind of, no pop-up. Well, I mean, I as a former catcher myself, I do respect the pop time, but it's not something that affected my rankings. So
okay.
I'll start with my 10. I have a tie at 7, so I cheated, and I have 11 on my list.
Sure.
And it's, I'm only going to use
typical 10 fantasy because, guy, bending the rules. You know.
Correct. Because Brad brought it up, my 10 is actually JT Realmuto. And I feel like what I alluded to earlier in terms of the bounce back guy, I like Realmuto. He's on too good of a team. He was too far outside of his norm last year. I think he battled more injuries than we're expecting. I think there's going to be room for him to have a few more DH at-bats this year. I like his production to be regressed to more of his career norms a little bit. And I just think we're going to see a little bit of a bounce back. I don't think it's going to be number one catcher like he could have been in the past couple of years. But I do expect him to be in this top 10 as a safe bet. If I'm looking for, you know, a guy that I don't have to reach for, that's going to give me safe numbers, I love JT. That's just the way I see him. And it's generally how I draft catchers. So a little bit of favoritism there for me. I am a JT guy, so I will go back to that well at number 10. Number 9 is probably not going to be on either of you guys' lists, and I'm excited about this one. For me, I've been on him for a while. That's Ivan Herrera. I don't think a lot of people have him in the top 10. I love him to take a massive step this year, and I love the purchase, right? It's going to be such a cheap option in comparison to a lot of guys in this top 10. You're going to be able to get him much, much later in your draft. And I really like the value you're going to get there. And I don't think you're going to be that far behind on the production side, because, you know, you're going to clear Arenado. You've already cleared Goldschmidt from that lineup. Nubar can't stay healthy for more than 10 minutes. So, you know, he's going to find himself in that 5-6 slot, which from a production perspective, I think can bode well. So I like him as a really sneaky option at 9. 8 is going to piss some people off, so I'm excited about this one. And that's, I got William Contreras at 8. I got him further down than a lot of people. I just don't believe the consistency is there. The power's real. I think he's going to hit a little. I just don't think the hit tool is going to sustain, and I think he's going to be one of those prototypical stocky catchers that has that burst onto the scene and then plateau and then fall off. And the best comparison that had more power would be Gary Sanchez. So, like, that's what I see with William Contreras. I see a short window of success, and I see a fall off. And there was blips of it last year. Go look at his monthly splits. Look at the skew in August. Put that into the months around it, and you have a very, very poor May to September last year. So just something to be aware of. His numbers are very much inflated. He terrifies me. The power is the only reason he's in my top 10. So that's why I thought, I know a lot of people are going to hate that one, but you know how I love to hear that.
love the hate. Yeah.
I will steer into that one. So at 7, I got a tie, and this one's appropriate, especially because of Robbie and I, because of the two teams involved. And I've got big unit Cal Raleigh and Alejandro Kirk here tied at 7. Both for very, 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 very different reasons. Raleigh very much for the same reasons I just talked about on Contreras. The power is real. Probably the most power of all the catchers at this stage. Like, Selby obviously is a guy that has some pop, but that's fading in his older years. So for me, Raleigh's probably the number one pop guy in the list, right? And I like him for that from a production standpoint. But again, I just don't love the rest of his game. So I don't have him any higher than that. Kirk on the complete opposite side. What I watched in the last 2 months of Alejandro Kirk was him coming out from what was a major struggle. And then we saw the old Kirk in the last month and a half of the season. He was very, very good. He also had a kid last year. And, you know, everyone was hard on Justin Turner in Toronto last year. Also had a kid. In that 1 month when the kid was born, Justin Turner sucked. He was pretty good the rest of the year. Kirk...
But Kirk younger. Still looks pregnant, Ty. That's the big difference there.
Doesn't matter. like a pregnant woman, all we need is for him to deliver, and we're good.
Oh, good return on that. I like it. Nice.
So it's a good one there. I just think he's probably the safest production bet, like barring injury, which obviously goes without saying for everybody.
Yeah.
But, like, for me, he's the safest production. He's going to give you 70, 80 RBIs. He's going to have a bundle of hits. He's going to get on base. So I like him as safety net here. So if you're going to reach for upper tier production, for me, Kirk's a real safe one in that category. And then number 6, I think that's where I'm rounding off, Robbie, right?
Yep.
Number 6 is the aforementioned Salvador Perez. Love Salvi. Huge Salvi fan. He's too old. I can't rank him higher. It's that simple. So everything about Salvi I like. He's getting old, and I can't put him any higher. But we all know who Salvi is. There's no secrets there. He's going to give you some home runs. He's probably not going to hit for as much average. He's going to steal zero bases. And we know he's got a phenomenal pop time. So he gets some props on the list, and I like him here at 6.
All right, so can you recap your 10 to 6 quick? Because I'm missing one of your 6 guys.
JT was at 10.
Yep.
Ivan Herrera at 9. William Contreras at 8. The two-headed monster of Raleigh and Kirk at 7. And then Salvi at 6.
Perfect. Okay, well, talk about shock and awe. I have plenty on that one, but I love it. Britton?
So just as a preview, Robbie, before you take over, I have one that's even more shocking than all of those in my top 5.
So. Oh, of course you do. You just took out 2 of the top 5. So, of course, there's going to be... So, Britton, all right.
I love it.
What's the Roto man? The Roto guy it. Like?
Ty coming back with a vengeance. Mama said knock you out, LL Ty J. Absolutely love it. Popping off, coming out strong, man.
Jeez, heads up.
There we go.
Jeez, it's a party over there. Jeez. Yeah. Did you notice that he didn't have any pants on?
He's popping straight off dumb. Right now.
Yep. All right.
Where's the pop-up time on that one?
I don't know if I can do. I don't know if I can shock the world like Ty did. But all right. So remember, this is Dynasty Startup, 5x5, meaning batting average counts, home runs, stolen bases too. My number 10, Tyler Stevenson from the Cincinnati Reds. This guy everybody's been waiting on him to come into his own. He was a big time prospect. Now he's actually done it. 19 home runs with a .258 batting average last year. He's hitting with Ellie De La Cruz. He's going to be hitting third or fourth. I love Tyler Stevenson. He's young. He's a guy that's my number 10 in a dynasty startup. I love Tyler Stevenson. I love Great American Ballpark in beautiful Cincinnati, Ohio. Shout out Skyline Chili. If you've ever been to Cincinnati, you know what that is. Put a little cinnamony for my taste, but who cares? Number 9, Logan O'Hop, or O'Hoppy. If yo nasty, and I'm nasty, Logan O'Hoppy, he's got all the power in the world. Another prospect. His only drawback is that he plays for the Angels, which is going to bring him down. But he's still too talented. 20 home runs last year, gentlemen. 3 stolen bases. Barrel rate, hard hit rate, slug, exit velo, all elite by that StatCast. You know StatCast doesn't lie. It's like Wikipedia. Like, it's on the internet. It has to be true.
It's true.
And if they say it's true, it's true. So Logan O'Hoppy's number 9. So number 8, Wilson Contreras. Not William. Wilson, his brother for St. Louis. Wilson, I'm getting confused. Wilson,
there's no way to even just say W Contreras. It's all the same.
St. Louis. I was going to do two L's, but wait, there are two L's in William, too. What the hell am I talking about? Not the smartest thing ever. Anyway,
So Saint Cardinals Louis, Contreras?
St. Louis Contreras, Red Contreras. He's going to be playing some first base this year. Mm-hmm. The aforementioned Ivan Herrera is going to take over full-time catching duties, allegedly. So Wilson Contreras, full-time DH / first baseman. I like where this is going. And if you look at his track record, 2022, 22 home runs, .243 average, 2023, 20 home runs. Last year, 15 home runs. So he's starting to come down a little bit. But with that kind of track record, you know he's talented. So I put him at number 8 just for out of respect, Mr. Contreras, for all you've done for St. Louis, where my grandparents are from, RIP Marty and Gladys Marisek. I love you guys. Number 7 is my least exciting one here, Will Smith for the Dodgers. Yeah, he's 29. He produces. He's going to hit 20 home runs with a .240 average. He plays for the Dodgers. I felt obligated to put him in there somewhere, and that's where I slide him in. The guy ahead of him, I'm very excited. Shea Langeliers for the Athletics, formerly the Oakland Athletics. Would y'all please come to Nashville? Get out of Sacramento, California at the AAA. Come to Nashville. Bachelorette parties, bourbon, drunk Southern women live here. It's called the SEC. They all go to sororities, and it's a fun time. I know Oakland, the Athletics aren't coming to Nashville, but I can still dream. I would absolutely.
They hate fun. They hate fun.
But Britton, there's also a lot of automotive YouTubers that are in Nashville. Do you think that would help?
Yes, a lot of YouTubers live in Nashville. Downtown Nashville is party central with all these really cutting edge honky talks featuring the likes of Kid Rock, who is 55 years old, yet he's still kid something. I don't know what
55 years young. Yes. Thank you.
So Shea Langeliers, I have a question for you, Ty, as our honored guest. Did you know, and I can do a Michael Caine impression because that was his thing. He goes, do you know that a man at the top of Big Ben can fall to the ground? No, I'm kidding. That's that. That was my Michael Caine impression. Anyway, people are like, who the fuck is Michael Caine? He's a British actor. Anyway, did you know that Shea Langeliers hit 29 home runs last year?
I did. Shea Bangaliers, baby.
Bangaliers, that's a lot of home runs in a bunk-ass foul territory as wider than so-and-so's butt.
Nailed it.
It's not going to be – yeah, that didn't land. But it's not, it's not going to be like that at – it's called Sid Meier's Pirates Health Park in West Sacramento, California.
Imagine if 2 years ago you bought the rights to that park as a joke, and then they move, and you're like, now we got them. We got
I'm
MLB.
Rich. Yeah, yeah. I'm rich.
It's Nutsack Centennial Park.
Right. It's too fucking hot in the summer park, but it's in the Pacific Coast League. It's a AAA park in the Pacific Coast League. That's all you need to know. He hit 29 home runs in a big park. Now he's going to a AAA park. And, you know, he had 22 home runs last year. This dude, I think, is like Cal Raleigh light, except maybe not. He may be better than Cal Raleigh, but he's a young guy. I like the situation. So Shea Langeliers is my number six.
All right. So we've got at 10, Stevenson with Cincinnati. 9, Ohapi. 8, Cardinal Contreras.
Correct.
At 7, Will Smith of the Dodgers. Gross. And at 6, Langeliers of the A's. City to be determined. So for mine at 10, I think 3 of the guys you haven't mentioned yet, which is excellent. So my number 10 is Shea Langeliers. And one of the big reasons is that he is getting a lot of hype value headed into this year, just as all A's are going to. And the closer we get to the season, the more it's going to come, because people are going to be like, wait, this is going to be like a spot to hit a bunch of home runs. Okay, cool. I'll get A's. But Langeliers, like you mentioned, Britton, he just does it anyway. It doesn't matter the park, he's going to hit them. So this might just be more. And if the A's are trying, as it appears, that, you know, somewhat as though they are picking up some SP4 starters, they might be competitive, and there might be guys that take walks, and he might have guys on base. His average is okay. His OBP is not. I'm not counting that, as I mentioned. It's under 300. K rate's around 30%, which could, you know, go either way and be concerning, or you could tighten it up a little bit. 30 home run power, less than 5 stolen bases isn't ideal, but on a crummy A's team, he can get in and around 130 runs RBIs combined. On an average or better A's team, that number could pump up and make him well inside the top 10, not just next year, but beyond, because he is hitting his prime years at 27 for this season. At number 9, I'm the only one who's going to have him inside a top 10 anywhere. I've got Connor Wong. I still believe in Connor Wong, and now that he's got the role in Boston and they don't have a next man up, Teal is gone. There is go get another grumpy old man who will not be able to take his role. The average potential is good. It could be even better. He has the legitimate window to be a starter the rest of his time in Boston, which could draw beyond. You know, they even brought Jansen in last year, and Jansen was, you know, he shot himself in the foot, but Wong also played well enough to earn it. The issue is that he has not been in the lineup in a good spot to produce runs or RBIs, and Boston is going to continue to be competitive, and that means that he'll be in the last third of the lineup and at most six. So if he's in the 6-7 spot, he's got a chance to be well above the 100, but that's the issue. And for home runs, he has had short blips of success, and he does have the ability to get around a base, but not to get into the teens or anything. So I like Wong at 9. At number 8, I have Adrian Del Castillo of the Diamondbacks.
Ooh.
At 25. He had an excellent 2023 line. Or sorry, he had a really good 2023 line in the minors, an elite 2024 line, and then came up and held his own. I expect 130 combined runs RBIs with at minimum a 250 average and the potential for 30 home runs in what could end up being, and progressively every year return to, a competitive Diamondbacks lineup, as they will probably do the veteran add-on every year if they are competitive, desperately trying to be the underdog in the NL West. So I like Del Castillo. At number 7, I've got Yennier Diaz with Houston. He should be a top 3 guy, but Houston might be going the wrong way. So his potential for runs and RBI chances could go down if they're eroding the lineup. But 150 combined runs RBIs is possible if they're competitive. Now, he's not going to be a 25 home run guy. He's going to be more of a 15 home run guy, and he's not going to steal. And that's going to hold him back from being any higher than 7 for me over the next 4 to 5 years is what my window is, if not mentioned earlier. And my number 6 guy is Logan Ohapi with the Angels. He is my youngest guy on my top 10, but with a horrible Angels team, he still is able to look like a legitimate MLB-er. So as the Angels pretend to try and continue to draft first-round picks that will immediately play in MLB, he should be able to have more help around him. Obviously, a healthy Trout would help, but 120 runs RBIs combined, easily 20-plus home run power with in him, but no stolen bases to speak of. The average could bump him up, which could safely make him a top 5 guy over the next 5 years. And of course, if the Angels improve, that puts more guys on base, that gets him more opportunities to be driven in. As long as he can stay in the heart of that lineup, he should be an effective producer for many years to come.
Hey, keep your eyes on the road. This is the Palazzo Podcast. We'll be right back after these pointless messages.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I know you guys are both super happy and have nothing to comment on mine. So, Ty, we can do your 5-1. And
I have one quick comment.
Oh, no.
I want your guys' thoughts on this. So, like, I love Del Castillo too, Robbie. Like,
yeah.
He's one of my favorite guys. The split versus Marino, I'm not a fan of, right? So, like, for me, he goes into my top 3 if he's not on the D-backs. But he's not going to get the at-bats because Marino's a better defensive catcher. So, like, that scares me. And then the same thing on Ohapi. Like, I don't have him in my top 10. Spoiler. Mm-hmm. And the reason I don't have him, Darno's going to steal some of those at-bats. I don't think he's ready to step into that next phase. Like, he just way too many wild swings for me for Ohapi. Like, power's obviously there. He's a monster. But it's just one of those ones. Like, it's like people work out all the time. They look great, but that doesn't make them good at sports. Right, so Ohapi's kind of in that category for me. So I just want to get your guys' assessment on those two guys because I disagree with them, and I want to hear why you guys love them as much as you do.
Britton, I'll give you first crack at the counter.
Logan Ohapi, I think. Look,
Travis, you get to pronounce all the names.
Yeah. rolls off the tongue, but I'm pumped. So. Look, Travis d'Arnaud is a great player, but there's a reason why Atlanta didn't re-sign him, because he's old and he gets hurt, and he's literally brought in to kind of teach Ohapi the nuke Lelouch Crash Davis situation.
Yes, sir.
Like Travis Darnot, what's he on, a 1 year, maybe 2 year deal? Like that dude is not a 2 year.
It's not on a two.
Good for him. Good for him. So he's got his World Series rings with Atlanta. So now he's ready to go out west where the weather's warm. The women are looking good. California girls, Katy Perry, sup. So he's going to spend a couple years out there making a few million hanging out with Logan. So
learning how to broadcast and move into a post.
Travis Darnot is there to help Logan. He's not there to, I don't think, to do anything else. And I'm sorry. What was the other catchers?
Del Castillo.
I couldn't agree with you more. Gabriel Moreno is number one. Like Adrian's not even in the big leagues. Like he's going to start out. He's going to start out in the minor leagues, which is fine. And if Moreno gets hurt, he'll be the first called up. I'm not even sure who the backup is that's on the active roster. But so Adrian will be. I mean, Moreno, they traded for him, and he's so young and he's so good that, you know, unless something happens to him, Adrian's just going to be waiting in the wings, getting full time or as full time as any catcher can in the minor leagues. But that's how it is, and nothing's changing except injury.
Yeah, so, and like for me, like just really quickly on a hobby, like the strikeout rates are high, right? Like, and if you look at the batted ball numbers are good, like you said, Britton, in your notes early. Like I like those peripherals. What scares me though is his contact is on mistakes. Everything's up in the zone, right? His hitting of off speed, he hit like 154 or something like that versus off speed last year, right? He has a tendency to swing at the slider away. Like for me, these are all indicators that like there is potential for major bottom to fall out here as the pitchers refine their approach, because last year most of his at bats they were down 9-1, so it doesn't matter, right? They're just trying
like
to get the game over
with
without getting
hurt.
But
whatever, it was like 6-2 they were down, but anyway,
you get the point.
So my counter on Ohapi is the Angels will continue to improve because they have a lineup full of sleepers who are not getting respect. And if they could possibly have a veteran be healthy with a good attitude and play, a lot of good things could happen. And it could be a quick turnaround because they've got a decent infield and they've got the ability on the mound to have pitchers not make Ohapi exhausted from all the changes. If they could go
Mickey Moniak season, baby, let's go.
Hey, forget Anthony Rendon's coming back.
Yeah, exactly. So they haven't been able to clear out everything, but you know, so there is potential over time for that to help. And on Del Castillo, it's more what I don't like with Moreno, which is that he's supposed to be an elite average OBP, you know, contact bat. And we know he's not going to be a massive power guy. But the average in 600 major league at-bats has been in the 270s. I'm not excited like that he's all of a sudden going to be a 300 hitter starting opening day and beyond. Everybody else can get excited about him. He could be Luis Ariz at the catching position. There will be no production. There will be no runs, no RBIs. Whereas with Del Castillo, that's what he can do because he can just hit the ball far. So there could, of course, be the opposite of higher K rate and things of that nature. But I'm banking on Arizona finding at bats, just like we're going to talk about another team who's going to have an excellent problem in 18-ish months, 2 years, when they have multiple elite catchers that are going to be in there on their cusp or up in MLB. I think there's a way for Arizona to find at bats when Del Castillo is playing well offensively and Moreno is able to hold it together with the catchers. And there's always the, you know, you catch for three guys, you catch for two, and you DH. And, you know, there's a way that they find these things.
It's the same problem Toronto had with Jansen and Kirk, though, right? Like, it's tough to risk them both being in the lineup.
Well, they had three catchers. That Toronto's error was saying, we also will have Reese's Pieces kicking around, playing with himself in parking lots in spring training. Never forget.
Moreno did allegedly hit 329. Yeah, right? He did hit 329 in July with full at-bats, and in half a month in September, he hit 300. So it's not to say he can't hit. He will put the bat on the ball, and it will go between the foul lines in a lot of cases. But it just scares me. That's why I wanted to ask those questions, see where you guys were at on that. So thank you.
Yeah, all right. So tie to your top five.
Yeah, my top five is fun. I like my top five a lot. I love my number five as probably the biggest bounce back of the year. And it's not going to be high on too many lists. You guys might have them because you guys are smart guys, but Francisco Alvarez at five for me. I like the improvement in the Mets lineup. I like where he's going to sit on the back of the train. Robbie, you know I talk about the back of the train in the lineup all the time.
Huge train guy, Ty. Ty's huge train.
Big time, big time.
Choo-choo, baby, choo-choo.
I got the hat, the wooden whistle, the whole thing.
He's a conductor. And,
yeah, well, right, there you boom.
And so Alvarez just has the pop. I think that lineup around him is going to gift him some production, and I think he's just going to learn from the guys that are there, and I think this is going to be the big breakout year for him. We all know the power's real. That's not a shock to anybody. It's going to be the contact rates. Can he produce at a higher level? And I think the answer there is yes. Four is probably my most boring pick, and Britton already kind of laid into this one on Will Smith. Safe, again, we talked about that earlier with some of my guys, Kirk and JT. I feel Will Smith fits into that category just as a slightly elevated guy, probably one of the guys that has sneaky 30 home run pop. We probably won't see it, right? But it's there. It could happen if the winds are going the right directions on the right days. Not likely to be the outcome, but I like him as a very, very, very safe bet there at number four. How far am I going, Robbie? I missed it. Am I going all
right
the way to one?
Yep.
Cool. Number three, I like Yandy Diaz a lot. I like his ability. He's probably the best hitter on my top 10, like in terms of well-rounded. I like what he brings to the team. I don't disagree with what you said, Robbie, about Houston potentially stepping back. I think they've got a couple guys that people don't really recognize as great players. Like Christian Walker is a nice addition to that lineup. Isak Paredes is going to make them better. Both those guys are probably going to hit behind Yanier, right? He might hit two ahead of Yandar. He might hit behind Yordan, but he's probably going to hit ahead of Walker, and he's for sure going to hit ahead of Paredes. So in that scenario, I like that grouping regardless of whether Houston wins games or not. I like him to be a production catcher, period. So he's three for me. Number two is probably my biggest shocker on the list. I love Tyler Stevenson at two. I love that lineup. I love the Francona effect. I love that ballpark. There's so much to like about what Stevenson's going to get. And one of my favorite things about baseball that we're seeing back in the game for the first time in 15 years is stolen bases. Love the fastball rate that's going to happen against that Cincinnati lineup. There's too much speed around that lineup, and Stevenson's going to be one of those guys that gets those heaters. We saw it a little bit last year. We're going to see more of it with McCain back in that lineup, or McClain back in that lineup. You're going to see Encarnacion hopefully become a guy. That lineup just could be unreal, and I like Stevenson to be a major benefactor of that one. All the things that Britton said about, you know, the powers there, the ballpark factor. He's supposed to be the guy. He was the guy. His September last year was huge. Nine home runs in September. Seven in September. Lots of production. So love what he could do this year. Number one, I think, is the most predictable bounce back this year, and that's Adley. Really safe switch hitter. No real major scares on the split. He's a better lefty, in my opinion. But I do like what is there, that lineup. Isn't going to get any worse. You're going to see Kershaw and Mayo for sure this year in that lineup. It's going to be deep, regardless of whether people dislike Santander leaving. It doesn't matter. You're going to be just as good, if not better, offensively. Now, if I was saying this is based on the pitching staff, I'd be mortified. Orioles rotation sucks. But offensively, love it. And Adley's going to be a huge part of that. So easy number one for me.
Okay, we'll move straight into Britton. 5-1, baby. Lay it on us, Roto Man.
Number five, Yandier Diaz. I love Yandier Diaz.
I'm the high. Wait, I'm the low guy on Diaz. I feel bad now.
Yeah. I love Yandier. Sure. I love Yandier Diaz. 16 home runs. Yeah, he's not going to steal a lot of bases, but he's a big part of the Houston Astros offense. And they're down, but they're not out, baby. They're not out. I think he's. He's primed and ready to go. You know, last year he had 23 home runs, and that was under the shackles of Dusty Baker, like not playing him that much. Well, those shackles, it's Yonner Diaz unchained. He's ready to go kill those motherfuckers on the plantation, and that's oh Yasser Diaz.
I thought I was racy.
I'm just waiting for the image of Diaz Unchained. That's just going to be so good.
The best thing about him for
my Roto stuff, a .299 batting average. For a full-time catcher,
that's elite.
Hitting at prime catcher spot, elite. Like, that's a big deal. Like, yeah. Leagues are won and lost between literally a hundredth of a point. Like, the difference between third in batting average and ninth can literally be like that. Anyway, but
so my one thing before you move on, Britton, I didn't say in mine that I want to say.
Yeah,
is with Diaz, love him as a trade candidate. And Robbie knows this game for me. I love to buy guys on early season dips. I think Diaz will have an early season dip just because he's in that sophomore window, right? I think we're going to see a small struggle out of the gate, but love him to win championships July through September. So just as a side note there.
Yeah, I agree. But if looking at his X-Slug, XBA, X-Woba, they all support this batting average. It's not a fluke. He had a .283 average last year. I love Yonier Diaz. Number four, Sal Perez. Now, I get it. He's 30, a dynasty startup. I don't care. He is still hitting the ball hard. He's 34, but he's from the Dominican Republic. And grown men from the Dominican Republic are built different than people built in Nashville, Tennessee, eating you know, hot wings, hot chicken, Nashville hot chicken, and drinking Miller Lite. It's just different. Like, he can literally keep up this production for another 3 years, and it wouldn't surprise anybody. So 27 home runs, a .271 batting average. Absolutely. Look at his Statcast. Absolutely 0.0 indication that there's anywhere close to a decline. His track record's impeccable. He's invigorated. This is Narrative Street. I don't know him. But he's invigorated because Kansas City has Bobby Witt, and they're going to the playoffs, and he's back in it, baby. He's going. He's the team captain. He has the best smile in major leagues. That means nothing. I love Salvador Perez.
Does it change if he's from, say, Venezuela?
Did I not say Venezuela? That's what I meant.
I thought that's what I heard. And when we edit it, that's how it's going to come across.
I just want to make sure all that checks out. If I'm going to buy it, I want to know that it's still the same.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I meant. Thank God he's Venezuela.
Venezuela, yeah.
No offense, Mr. Perez. All right. Number three.
He's a big fan of the show. Big fan of the show, Sal Perez. Yeah.
If he walked in this room right now, I would curl up into a ball and start crying.
We got to get him. You got to get him on, or he's going to go down the David Dahl path. So,
that's a whole other episode. We don't have time for that one tonight.
Number three is Kyle Raleigh, the big dumper, 28 years old. 27 home runs in 22, 30 home runs in 23, 34 home runs, 24. That looks like that's not a coincidence. That's track record. He's hit more home runs. He only bats .222, which is a bummer, but I don't care if he hits 34 home runs. He doesn't get hurt all that much. He bats at the top of the lineup. He's just got power all day. Young guy. I love Kyle Raleigh. For the Seattle Mariners. Number two is Adley Rutschman. His numbers aren't great, but it's his sophomore year. This is basically a ceiling guy. Like, if you had to bet who's going to be anywhere close to Mike Piazza, it's Adley Rutschman, and it's not close. So I'd take him number two. 26 years old. He's got all the character stuff. He's on Baltimore. It's all looking good. Sky's the limit. If you could somehow buy low on him, you can't, but if you could, now's the time to do it. Number one is William Contreras, the two L's, Milwaukee, and the Brewers.
Yeah.
He's the blue brother, Contreras. He's the gold standard in catcher. I mean, look at his numbers. He's literally like, I don't know if gold is worth anything anymore. He's not the gold. Platinum? Maybe
we use American money. He's like American money to a Canadian.
Plutonium. Yeah, like in Back to the Future, you know, the in the 121 gigawatts, that's him. He's plutonium standard for catcher, 23 home runs, 9 stolen bases. Like, if you get that out of an outfielder, you're like, sweet. You know, 281 batting average, but you're getting it out of a catcher. An 831 OPS, which would make the Beastie Boys happy. 808, it's better than that. 27 years old, William Contreras for the Brewers. He's awesome. He's number one.
All right, so your five is Diaz, Perez, Raleigh, Adley, and Brewer Contreras.
Brewers. Oh,
beautiful. Mine is similar and different. So I've got Adley at five because I think what he's going to be is an excellent catcher for 5 years. And in being an excellent catcher on a competitive Orioles team, he's not going to worry about getting 80 to 90 runs and 80 to 90 RBIs. He's going to worry about the relief pitcher that's coming up next inning and making sure he's ready to rock and roll for that guy. So he might end a few more innings than we would like as fantasy owners. But 140 as a floor for runs, RBIs combined is safe, as is 20 home runs. But there are no stolen bases, and the OBP and average are neither elite nor excellente. I have Tyler Stevenson at my number four with Cincinnati. I think he is catcher sleeper of the year category here. You know, the average as a 20 home run guy, 130 runs RBIs on a team that's going to have peaks and valleys the next several years. And we just don't know if the Reds are going to take off and be incredible or continue to do what they've done with so many players. And if they take off, he's there. He's their wily veteran at 28 years old. So he's locked in. And as mentioned, he's not in the back third of the lineup. He's right in the heart of it. I've got Will Smith of the Dodgers. This is very much like my Freddie Freeman at first base, ranked him third. You can't not understand how that production is going to happen for Will Smith. 70 to 80 runs or RBIs could easily happen, you know, each for him. 20 home runs and a safe average 270 range. The lineup's going to make him productive. As long as he can get on base, he's still going to get his runs. The Dodgers are setting themselves up for these types of guys to help us in fantasy, even in a down year. So I can see him having a good run of success. At number two, I believe in Cal Raleigh's power. I understand the average is the issue, and I get it. And it could fall right out, as we've seen with other guys. But I can't name another guy that I think has 5 years of 30 home run power if he gets the at-bats in this catcher unit here. He is the guy that I think can safely do it if he's getting the at-bats. And as well, he can combine for 80 runs, 80 RBIs as the other lone thing he can do in that 160 range for production. Obviously, the stolen bases are not there. OBP is fine. So if in a worst-case scenario he's still high enough in the lineup, he could have positives and negatives for us out there. And my number one is the Brewers Contreras. I love it. It's a mistake that Alex Anthopoulos rarely makes, trading away somebody who's better than who you have and or can bring in. But he believes in veteran catchers. And in place of that, he's lost out on the best catcher for fantasy purposes or offensive catcher in baseball. He's the only guy on this list who could be 101 runs, 100 RBIs more than once over the next 5 years and hold a 280 average and have 10 stolen bases and hit 20 home runs. He is the guy. That is the ceiling. He could also get hit on the toe the final game of spring training and be a completely different player, but I'm not willing to play that game because I love positivity. That's what everybody always says. I'm so positive, and I always am hoping for the best. So I've got Rushman, Stevenson, Smith, Raleigh, and Contreras rounding it out on my top five. That's 30 rankings for everybody out there. Ooh, keeping track at home. But yeah, so we've got a few questions I want to fire at you guys, but before that,
can we just touch on Contreras real quick though?
Yeah,
like I just want to take this home. So his August, right, 9 home runs, 295 average. That's a great month, no arguments. Schedule, I just went through it, pretty soft, right? You got Washington and San Francisco hurt and Cincinnati hurt and just not a lot of great pitching staffs that he faced in that month. So if you go backwards, you hit 218 in June, 244 in July, 257 in September with mediocre production numbers in those months, okay? The thing that scares me the most, and this is just something as a red flag, He had, where's it out here? 595 at bats last year, 679 plate appearances for a catcher. That is terrifying. That's the equivalent of a starter throwing 260 innings these days, right? So, like, that's a big, terrifying element for me. Yes, he had 99 runs and 92 RBIs, but so would some of the other guys had they had that many at bats. But I think that's just something really cautious. Like, he is 27. He's not, he feels like he's 23, right? He does. He feels like the young guy, but 27 isn't that young. So, just something like it scares me. I'm shocked that I'm the only one that's scared by this one. Everyone loves him, but I just feel like he is the biggest risk. So anyway, I just wanted to touch on that.
No, that's fine. Okay, so we're going to go with a couple quick fire questions here to wrap up the Catcher Dynasty episode here. So, Britton, I'll give the first one to you, then we'll go to Ty. Who is a better lineup away from being in your top 10, meaning who needs to move to a new ballpark or a new team to crack in that is currently sitting on the outside?
This is going to sound strange, but for me, it's Francisco Alvarez. I don't know if y'all noticed, he didn't make my top 10, even though he was in Ty's. And I think maybe it's not a better lineup, it's like a better ballpark. Like, he's a talented real life catcher as far as calling the game with the pitcher, but you know, I just feel like he needs something else to help that team going. Because the Mets, when you look at it, like, are they going to re-sign Pete Alonso? I don't know. You know, they have Francisco Lindor, but I just feel like something needs to happen with. I want to put Francisco. I guess here's my point. I want to put Francisco Alvarez in my top 10, but there's just something holding him back, and I think if he had a better lineup, it could help him get going, because offensively, if you look at his numbers, not that great. So, and his hard hit numbers aren't very good either. So that's what I'm kind of hoping for. Not that they're going to trade him or anything, but I think if Francisco Alvarez had a more productive, and you know, the Mets were good last year and all that, but I don't know. There's just I need something for Francisco Alvarez. What do y'all think?
Fair. I've got him at 37. I think he's got a lot to improve on to show us for fantasy stat production. And Ty obviously believes the bounce back is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, first half numbers weren't that bad. He had 296 in the first half, right? So if you look at it from that perspective, you've got a guy that's logging innings at a high rate that he's not done before. He didn't get a full-time starting position last year. Like, it wasn't a full role, right? So our production numbers are skewed, right? So he hit 11 home runs with how was the total here on at-bats? With 308 at-bats. So you got to assume you're going to see another 150 minimum. So you're looking minimum 15 home runs. I expect to see more hits. I see the OPS is fine. The slug and the OBP are okay for a catcher. Room for improvement, but he's still 23, yeah. Right? So there's very few catchers that break in and have multiple seasons under their belt at 23. So for me, love the progression. I think we're going to see a big year this year. And the one thing I'll say is, like, in the lineup scenario, like, there's not a lineup in baseball that gets worse by adding Juan Soto. So I think you have two things there. You've got an OBP machine ahead of him, which is going to compress that lineup in many ways. Mm-hmm. You also have a veteran hitter that hits in a way that very few people in baseball do, to now teach him and coach him and take him under some wings that way. So I like it. He's learned the position. He's ready to be a pro, and now it's time to be a hitter. So you know, that's my reason.
Until y'all's point, just real quick, Francisco Alvarez, according to Steamer, is going to hit 22 home runs. It's just a projecting. But, obviously that bakes into what you're saying. My honorable mention would be Joey Bart. Joey Bart actually started hitting last year, but he plays for Pittsburgh, which kind of sucks.
Yep. He now plays for Pittsburgh.
So and they agreed to terms yesterday on the arbitration. So, fun fact. And for Alvarez, really quickly before we move off of him, huge point for you, Britton. He is from Venezuela, so that's massive.
Wow.
I got to look at where the Contreras is from. If they're from Venezuela, then I've really stumbled on something here.
I believe they are, actually. Yeah, they are. Okay. Yeah, they are. Like, Venezuela is the catching capital. Like, that's a known fact, right? That's not news to anybody. So that's just to put that in your back pocket. If you're not sure, Bank on that.
It's not coincidence. I mean, how many major league catchers are there from a country that doesn't have all the resources that the United States or anything else does? I mean, it's catcher central.
That's big time.
True enough. Okay, so I was going to go with more questions, but it's proven obvious to me that there's so much to go off with catchers. I feel like this needs six more hours, and we don't have that to spare. So my guy here outside of my top 10, that a lineup away from moving in, there were many options I was looking at. And really and truly, I don't know who the best pick is to say here. Kyber Ruiz is my number 11, and if Washington is better, he'll just be in the top 10. So he's my default pick here. We did have other questions we were going to get to. Best prospect that you thought, if you can just rapid fire, no explanation, a prospect that you think could really muck his way into the top 10. I'm saying Augustin Ramirez with Miami could really make waves because he has the opportunity. If you have a prospect, Ty and or Britton, fire the name at me. We'll go right on to the next one.
I got two for me. Dylan Dingler, I think, is going to be the
not a prospect
for
yep.
good portion of the year this year. I don't know why he wouldn't qualify as a catcher. He hasn't fully broke in there.
Prospect. He's not a prospect. He's just a young guy.
What is he?
He has exceeded his MLB rookie status.
Did he actually?
Yeah, last year he did.
All right, yep. Well, I take that back then. Andy Rodriguez is my guy then.
He's also not a rookie. In 2023, he had 280-something at-bats. Again, I understand why. But he's not technically a prospect.
Well, neither of them are established starters, so I'm going with the
go for it. Yeah, that's which is
you
fine.
You can't take that away from me. I'm a guess.
Britton, do you have one? Yeah, I'm so sorry to correct you. I'm so sorry. Please don't leave. Britton, what do you got?
Moises Ballesteros from Venezuela. I don't know where he's from. Moises Ballesteros.
Of course.
Cubs 21-year-old prospect. The Cubs signed Carson Kelly, I think. So what? I think Ballesteros will be up by the summer.
Yeah, I agree with that one. And then the last thing we'll go, it's got to be quick. If you've got a guy who you think has one good year left, and if it's not 2025, it's 2026, who's the guy who somebody should just take a chance on? We could call it the Carlos Santana pick. For me, it's Danny Jansen. I am not a fan of Jansen big time, and I'm not a fan of him in Tampa Bay, but perhaps his 2026 will go better than his 24, and I'm assuming his 25 will go. Ty, who do you got that's the dart throw of a veteran?
Well, I mean, I want to say JT Realmuto. I mean, I think that one's too easy.
He just still produces, right? But he's not as coveted anymore.
Yeah, I think that's the one. The guy that I think I'm going to go with is Jonah Heim. I think this year is going to be a good one, maybe one more. But I think we saw some, chinks in what was an unexpected armor by literally everyone except for you, Robbie. So I think I like one or two more years for him, and then I think a steep fall off for him.
Britton.
I'm going to go Jacob Stallings in Colorado.
Love it.
One last ride, Jacob.
Absolutely.
One last ride. He's got like a one-year deal. Drew Romo is the catcher of the future, but he's brand new. He's young. He came up last year and made some starts, yep. But he can't hit. Jacob Stallings, if you're looking for that one last shooting star, let's go Jacob in Colorado.
All right, this has been the Dynasty Catchers for Palazzo Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's. We thank you so much.
Cue the dingers.
This is Dingers, way more than fantasy baseball. We keep it real when we talk and knock it straight out the park. Let's see the stats, what's the average draft position? What kind of plays you making? Check the wins above replacement. Check the lineups and the points, this I gotta see. What's your path to victory? Are they aiming for a dynasty? Get points going head to head, please don't do me no favors. We're always watching waivers, ain't no minor league, this is major. Yeah, Dingers, let's go.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
UTIs are the worst. I've been there. 1 year, I had 8 UTIs. If you get UTIs, then you understand how awful the cycle can be. I was taking all the precautions, and cranberry products, they just never worked for me. I was desperate for a way to be proactive. It was hard on me and on my husband.
It was tough to see her in pain, and I wanted to help.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Spencer.
With Spencer's background in biochemistry
and our shared frustration when it came to UTIs, we were inspired to start Eucora.
At Eucora, we make innovative urinary tract supplements and UTI relief products. Our effective urinary tract supplements finally give you a way to be proactive.
Feel like you've tried everything? We get it. We have a money-back guarantee so you can try risk-free. If you're not happy, you'll get a full refund.
We're on a mission to help women get their lives back. Ready to join them?
Get 30% off Eucora when you go to eucora.com/audio. That's UQORA.com/audio.